In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church as we continue in the journey of Eastertide. It is so good to see so many of you back here, to see some of you who were with us at Easter returning, and some of you that have been away for a while back again. Welcome all. Please take time to sign the friendship pads that you'll find in the inside aisle and pass them down the pew so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service, and join us in a time of fellowship in the Hope Room behind the sanctuary this morning as we share together and meet one another and become acquainted. We would like to warmly welcome you, particularly if you are visiting with us. We're glad you are here. I do not know if Sherry is here to make an announcement about this afternoon. We're going to try to go chronologically here.
I don't know if many of you know, but Brian Shim will be heading back home to California this week, so we'll be having a goodbye gathering for him in the Hope Room today at 2 o'clock, so we hope that you can make it to say bye to Brian.
Goodbye and a thanks for much behind-the-scenes work around here in these days. Please do take time to note the bulletin announcements in your bulletin this morning with the calendar, because there are many things happening, including the announcement and dramatic presentation of Pastor Medhat's paternity leave beginning. The Rosebud announces that Phoebe was born about 3.5 hours after he touched down in Minnesota on Sunday evening, if you haven't heard otherwise. Stacy met him at the airport, wasn't feeling well, went into labor, and Phoebe arrived Monday morning about 2 o'clock. I don't know much beyond that, except that every time I contact him, he says, just pray that we get some sleep. So let us be in major prayer for that in these weeks, for sure, as he's away through the month of April. She is healthy. They are home. Everyone, I think, is doing well, except that they don't have any sleep. There is no playgroup study tomorrow. We're getting ready to start a new study, and we'll begin that on the 22nd of April. We're going to be reading Having a Merry Heart in a Martha World, and we, as is our practice, we comment on that on Facebook, so even if you're not able to be with us at 10:30 to 11:30 to, quote, study with our little ones running around, you're welcome to read along and bring your comments as well. Also this week, on Wednesday evening, we are kicking off a new Bible study led by Russ Miller, who conveniently is between interim positions right now for us, conveniently for us, to lead a Bible study on Exodus at 7 o'clock in the Hope Room, and we hope that many of you will come and join in studying together as you have expressed that interest in wanting some more straight-up Bible study happening. Next Sunday is our newsletter bulletin for whatever months are coming up. I think it's May, June, right? Is that right, Lee? May, June? I'm losing track here. May, June newsletter. If you have announcements to get to the bulletin, please see that they get to Lee Vanderbon, our wonderful editor. His email address is in the bulletin this week, and it's always on the church website at the newsletter Dead Time Time. Next Sunday, after worship, we have a special happening that it looks like David Shire is about to stand up and talk to. So, okay.
You know, when I look out there and see all the young people, I wonder about this next announcement, but it's facing us all. I wonder how many of you feel that you've grown a little bit older this past year. Would you raise your hands? Even kids should be, okay. How many are aware of the issues and support systems that are available out there, and how many have a member of the family or a friend or yourself who are facing the issues of aging? Let's see a show of hands there. Well, just in time for you. Next Sunday morning, following our worship service, there's a program offered by Marie Carpenter, who is provided by Baptist Eldercare. There is a Baptist trust fund that supplies her and other resources for elders in the community. And she's been invited here to share some of her knowledge and her ideas so that as some of you age, you'll have some additional support in that whole process, which is a little scary when you start thinking about it. So there is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board in the Hope Room, and there should be lunch. And if you attend and sign up, if you could bring some food to share, it would be great. It will last from about noon to 1:30 or 2, and then they'll turn you loose. But it's an important take-in. Thank you very much for listening.
Please note, too, there is a sign-up sheet for our Camp Street monthly workday on the bulletin board in the Hope Room. If you can help that morning, we would love to have your assistance. And do take note of the announcements that you find them in the bulletin. Know that the calendar is kept mostly pretty well up to date on the website. So if you need to know what's happening when, you can check there as well. Are there any other announcements this morning? Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Come, let us worship God this morning as we join together in our opening hymn, which will be led by the Ghana Choir, All Other Gods. Let us sing together in worship.
The ways of men, you are the Most High God. There is none like you. All other gods, they are the ways of men. You are the Most High God. There is none like you, Jehovah.
Good morning. everybody. This is beautiful. We praise the Lord together. Our community is beautiful. Thank God for that. But there is also a moment in our worship when we come together, also individually, to recognize our sins, responsibilities. This is the moment. This is the moment to present to God everything that God knows. But once recognizing, we are recognizing responsibilities, sins, lacks in your lives. Let's pray. Let's pray together. And now, still together, let's pray what's in your bulletin. Almighty eternal God, we thank you that you have not left us alone, our sins and despairs. Loving us, you have brought us good news and set before us the way of life. Yet we confess that we have failed to see the way. In stubborn pride, we have spurned your mercy and your help. In selfishness, we have turned away. True. We have allowed ourselves to be crushed by trouble, as though Christ had not been raised at all. Forgive us our faithlessness, and grant the way of life and hope in the spirit of our resurrection. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Be certain, as certain you are, there is sunlight outside. You've been forgiven. Praise the Lord for that. Amen.
This is the time in our worship that we share joys and concerns of the community, a very important part of the life and ministry of this congregation, as we hear prayers raised and hear of news of prayers answered. I am delighted this morning that Jerison Rocha is helping to lead worship this morning in the prayers of confession and the pastoral prayer. Jerison, at the April session meeting, was approved to be officially an inquirer/candidate of this congregation, moving as the church that he formerly attended went out of business. So we're graced with his presence and ability to be with us, and look forward to the ways in which he will bring ministry here, and also having Ann Gentry from our Brown Fellowship, College Fellowship here, helping to lead as the worship leader this morning. We are indeed gifted. Are there joys and concerns this morning from this side of the congregation?
I think this is a joy that all of us should share, because we've all prayed a lot for her. And it's such a joy to see Monica Vandermann up there playing her violin. She certainly is a witness to our spiritual faith.
I have a joy to share, and some of you already know this, but I wanted to share with the rest of the congregation that this past Wednesday was my last radiation treatment. I'm done. So I'm very, very excited to be on this end of things, and I just wanted to thank everyone in the congregation again for all of your prayers and support over the past year. I couldn't have done it without you. God bless you all.
I'd like to thank you for your prayers for my dad, who's recovering from a surgery from colon cancer, and just ask for prayers for the next stage in his treatment, which is chemo. This is my last Sunday here, and I just wanted to thank you for everything, and this church has been a great blessing in my life, so thank you.
Like prayers for my friend Marcia. She is home from the hospital and waiting to go into chemotherapy, but she needs to be able to eat first, and she's having difficulties with that.
Just prayers for my husband Ed, who's running the Boston Marathon tomorrow. Hopefully it'll be a joy at the end of it.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Yes, I have a joy. I am back. And I thank you all for the prayers you prayed for me, for my journey, for my stay in Kenya. I have seen the Lord. I went home safely. I got to see my people, all of them, and we had a happy, happy reunion, and I came back safely. I have greetings from all my friends and the church I went to. I talked about you people and this church, and they told me when I come back, I say hi to you all. So I thank you all for how you supported me. I know, and I was being informed that you were praying for me, and I'm back safe. So may God bless you all. Thank you.
I have a joy to share. This past week I had experienced some pretty bad dizzy spells and became very concerned. But I was able to get in to see a neurologist very quickly and was diagnosed with a specific type of vertigo that can be treated with physical therapy. But I wanted to thank the prayer breakfast, who was notified by Chris early that morning, who prayed for me and for all of those who were also notified and had prayed for me. The prayers have worked. The dizziness has subsided, and just a blessing that it wasn't debilitating, and I'm doing okay. Thank you.
I would like prayers for my brother-in-law, Johnny, who is only 50, and he has to have a heart transplant.
What a joy it is to be back with you guys after being with our family in Ohio for Jim's brother's memorial service. It was a good reunion for us, but I learned that my niece's husband, who is a anesthesiologist with the Army, will be deploying to Afghanistan. So, you know, it reminds me again how we have to pray for our service people that are still involved in that terrible war. His name is Mike Sullivan.
I thank God that my taxes are done. I didn't know if I was going to make it or not after the last few weeks that my family has gone through, but we got it done. And I would like prayers for Alice Cooper, for everything that she is doing in her classroom, the support that she's giving her students. A couple of them are in crisis, and it's something that has to be dealt with in the classroom as well as at home. So prayers for her students and for the wonderful care that she is giving them.
Just want to thank everybody for prayers for my father-in-law, Paul. He's much better. He's home.
A joy this morning that we are back after a couple of weeks of all of us being really sick, and we are finally all healthy. And also a concern that we've gotten all the results back from Ken's school lotteries, and they are not at all how we hoped. So we are struggling and scrambling a little bit to figure out what to do with him next year. So just prayers that we find the right place for him.
It's a wonderful joy to have Nicholas running the mic for me this morning.
It's my pleasure.
God bless.
So many reasons to pray. It's a good thing to pray. Let's pray again. Oh God, gracious God, may your Spirit give strength to all your people as they work and witness in your world. Unite us in your love and truth, and help us to show your love to others. Especially we pray for health treatments for a dad, for Brian, for a friend called Marcia, for Ed, and also Boston Marathon. Those who return, for Mary, for doctor's visits, for Johnny's family in Ohio, and concerns with deployment to Afghanistan. We pray for Alice Cooper and her work. What a work, God. You also pray for Paul, for April's family. We pray, oh God, for Gina. We pray for all people, for a place where there is conflict, war, and starvation. God, our Creator, May those who lead the nations of the world be given wisdom. We pray for our community, for families. We pray for friends. We pray for their happiness and also for their challenges, O God. O God, be with those who endure times of affliction, with those who are alone or in pain. We pray for the sick, the hungry, the oppressed. We pray for prisoners, unemployed, and those, all those who are in any need. O God, and above everything, teach us once again to pray and to live under the perspective of your prayer, the prayer that says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day the bread, and forgive us nossos debts, assim como nós perdoamos nossos debitores. Não deixe a tentação, mas livra-nos do mal. Pois teu é o reino, o poder e a glória para sempre.
I'd like to invite the children forward for our children's message this morning. Come on up. Have a seat in front or in the front pew, wherever the Spirit moves you to move. Away from the candles. We have a candle guard, special candle guard today. Good morning. It's not often that I get to be the one to talk to you in the morning, but I want to give you a little bit of a preview of what the grown-ups up here and the older youth are going to be hearing about this morning in worship, because it's a really important story, a very special story, a story about a guy who was walking a road. And we've been talking a lot in the last few weeks in worship here about walking on the road with Jesus and walking with Jesus to Easter and how Jesus met people after Easter and continued to inspire them into new places. And today we're going to be talking about one person that Jesus met on the road, on the Damascus Road, named Saul. And Saul is a little bit different because Saul, we've been mostly talking about people who follow Jesus, right? Disciples, Peter and Andrew and all kinds of disciples that followed Jesus and met Jesus and loved Jesus. And Saul, who became known as Paul, who you may have heard about from a different part of the Bible, is actually not a big fan of Jesus. He wanted to kill Jesus. He wanted to kill people who followed Jesus. And Jesus met even Saul on that road. And Jesus met Saul and had a little conversation with him about it. And you can read about it in Acts 9, so I hope you'll go home and talk to your parents about it afterwards and see what they listen to in the sermon later, okay? Jesus had a conversation with Saul, and Saul started to listen to Jesus in a new way. And we listen to Jesus in a lot of different ways in this church. In your Sunday school classes, you meet people who introduce you to the stories of Jesus. In activities like going to help out at Camp Street, you see Jesus in a new way in being around here. In just the people you talk to in coffee hour, you meet Jesus in different ways. And the way that Paul met Jesus was a very dramatic change in his life. A change that changed him from being someone who chased after and tried to get rid of the followers of Jesus to being, some might say, Jesus' number one fan and able to reach all kinds of people with the message of God's love. And so as you go to your Sunday school classes this morning, I hope that each of you will have a chance to meet Jesus, not just with your Sunday school teachers, but with each other in seeing and in listening to the ways in which Jesus is helping you to learn how to live. And if you'll go down, if you will think about that and talk with one another about that, because it's in that kind of being together with one another that we discover and uncover the richness of God's grace. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you meet each one of us as Jesus in so many ways, and that the ways that you meet us give us hope and opportunities to be witnesses to one another. Be with all of these children as they listen and as they lead us in understanding Jesus in new ways. Be with their teachers in this place and those who live their witness in the world, in teaching and so many other ways. Guide us, we pray, that we might ever be faithful to where you call us. In Christ we pray. Amen. All right, fifth grade and below can go downstairs to classes. And the middle school is meeting upstairs in the couches room, and the family room is always available if you have little ones that need to run around a little bit during the service.
The New Testament reading is from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. This is the word of the Lord.
And sing together with the worship band leading us.
give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever, for He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever.
Wonderful week to be able to go to my sermon files of 24 years and pull out my best sermon about Paul's conversion. Unfortunately, there was no sermon that I've ever preached about Paul's conversion. For 24 years and 8 cycles of the lectionary, though I preach only once a month, I have studiously avoided preaching this text. But it is, as I told the children, a very, very important text, a text that I have studied over the years in many Bible studies of Acts, a text that I have thought about and pondered, a text that has spoken to my own journey to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I pray that in this time, as we listen to the words of Scripture, that the words in the mouth, the meditations of my heart and the way that God speaks to you through this text will be a blessing to you in this day. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, you meet us in the deepest places of our hearts and our needs. You speak to us. You heal us. You transform us from places where we have been to places that you would have us go, not only as individuals, but as a community of faith. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be to you this day a blessing and acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We are 2 weeks past Easter, and the Easter glow is kind of off the Easter egg for many people, I'm noticing. the wonders and amazement of Lenten disciplines that kept and drew us closer to Jesus Christ in that walk and journey with Jesus to the cross and to resurrection. Though some who gave up caffeine are doing a little bit better, I've noticed. There's a tendency after Easter to kind of fall back a bit, to back to near the other things that have been, that demand our life, in fact, the things of life that are our life, the things of life that are the places where God is looking to transform our life. But the lectionary doesn't allow us to go back to those earlier complacencies. It keeps pushing us forward into this new life that reveals itself at Easter. Easter doesn't leave us alone any more than it left Saul alone in those weeks following the resurrection. But Saul went back to the way things were and kept going the way things were, persecuting Christians. Remember that first part of the ninth chapter. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Saul, Paul, as we know him most, that tireless apostle to the Gentiles, that one who struggled mightily against whatever his thorn in the flesh was to bring the message of Jesus Christ to the whole wide world, was in this moment, before he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, already a man of faith, a man of a different faith. He acted deeply out of that faith in wanting to reclaim the people of God, the Jewish people, back to the ways of Judaism. He was a man of faith. I remember how shocking it was to hear that in seminary, because I think of his faith start, I was thinking in those days, some 25 years ago, that his faith really started when he met Jesus. He didn't have any before then. But that's not true. And it was the richness of that faith, that Judaism he knew and loved and obeyed and lived his life out of, that I think made him a very effective speaker of the truth in Jesus' way. But Jesus has a plan for Saul's life. And he quite literally in this moment stops Saul in his tracks. As I mentioned and told the children, not all of us will have that kind of life-changing moment that stops us in our tracks. But many of you in this congregation have. Many people have that kind of day that you can point to in your life that Jesus took over your life totally. I must confess that I grew up in a Presbyterian church, a very mainline Presbyterian church, that I learned about God and Jesus in my Sunday school classes, in looking at the ways my parents lived their lives, in looking at the ways that God was moving in our community to lead us to do things that seemed to be the right ways to follow Jesus. And I was perfectly content in that moment and feeling like I really was trying my best to do what God was calling me to do. And yet, as some of you have heard, I had one of those life-changing encounters with Christ when I came to the realization that it is not by my abilities alone that things can happen. Now, that's not to say that I don't keep going back and thinking that it all revolves around me sometimes, or to realize each and every week that there are moments in which I am not living fully in Christ, but living in the ways that I would rather be.
But Jesus is always calling us forth in those times, just as he called forth Saul in this time. And I want us to, in the moments that we have together here, to think and watch or listen a little bit to this story to see what we might learn from Saul's response to Jesus. There will be much in the weeks ahead in the lectionary where we will be talking about the ways in which he moved out into the world out of that response. But first, I want us to remember that when this event happens on the road, there is silence. Saul drops to the ground to pay attention, and there is silence. Now, for an extrovert like me, silence is a huge burden and a spiritual challenge. And some of you may be just the opposite. This may be, as I'm talking at you, some of your most silent moments of the week, yearning for a little bit of quiet. In my very brief contacts with Pastor Medhat over this week, I'm hearing only one thing following the arrival of Phoebe. Please pray for sleep. Please pray for sleep. There isn't much silence in our days and in our world these days when we are constantly plugged in, connected to others through answering machines, email, cell phones, Facebook, Twitter, a flurry of activities that demand our attention as we welcome spring and plan for the summer ahead. Life is full for so many of you. Life is full for many of you as well with incredible, incredible challenges. Incredible challenges. Going back to the story, Saul and those accompanying him don't immediately know what to make of what has just happened, but they sit in silence with it, hearing the voice, but not seeing, we read in Scripture. At Easter, Pastor Medhat preached, Easter is not about just saying Christ is risen, for if we get caught up in just that, we will miss the point that what we really proclaim at Easter is, I have seen the Lord, and our lives are different because of Easter. Here, Saul can't even see the Lord, but he hears the Lord. They don't know yet what they are seeing, just that they are in some kind of amazing process of an encounter that is leading them to transformation, we know later. Saul is struck blind. Interestingly, his companions don't run away and say, this is between Saul and Jesus. We're getting out of here. His companions stay with him. They led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He's not left alone in this dramatic experience. But for 3 days, he is without sight, neither eating or drinking. 3 days. I don't think it's an accident that it's 3 days. That same time that the disciples waited in the upper room when Jesus is killed, wondering for themselves what is next. Not an easy 3 days. 3 days can be a long time. Ask anyone who's waiting the results of a biopsy for cancer. Ask a student who's waiting to take the MCATs, a major test looming over him. Imagine a sudden hospital stay of 3 days, which totally upends your ways and in that week. Imagine the cycle of chemo and the 3 days that follow after that happens. Even a business trip, which takes mom or dad out of the busy, familiar family routine, is a long 3 days. When my kids were 3 and 4, 9/11 happened. Andrew, their father, had left on September 10th for London. And for 3 days, we had no idea when he would come back. No idea when he would come back. Those 3 days were very, very long in a time of crisis. But within those 3 days, God does speak. And in this case, quite dramatically.
Have you also known, and maybe you should try this as an experiment, no matter where you are in your life, in your life's experiences right now, have you also noticed that it's also a rare thing to go 3 days without a single blessing in your life if you're looking for it? Try it sometime. To go 3 days without a sign of hope, a sign of blessing, a word of encouragement that comes from someone else. Sometimes out of the blue. Saul is looking for that to happen in the midst of this silence, in the midst of this blindness, and it comes. As we saw earlier, Saul is not alone. He's surrounded by those who walked him to Damascus. God is at work in ways that he cannot see in that life-changing moment, even challenging a follower of Jesus like Ananias to have faith and to reach out in that faith. Now, Ananias isn't really sure that that's what he wants to do in that moment, if you reread what Anne shared with us here. After all, he knows exactly what Saul has been up to as an effective persecutor of those who would follow Jesus. He knows what he's facing there. And Ananias even tries to argue with God to try to get someone else to go in his stead. And in that, he gets a further explanation from the Lord. The road ahead will not be easy, the Lord tells Ananias. The road ahead for Saul will not be easy. G.K. Chesterton once wrote many years ago that Jesus promised his disciples three things and three things only: that they would be completely fearless, absurdly happy, and in constant trouble. I thought that was a more recent saying than G.K. Chesterton, but three things: that he was calling them to be completely fearless, absurdly happy in a way that the world cannot give us the kind of deep joy, but they would also be in constant trouble. We read in this text that Saul is praying. Saul is praying. He has some kind of a sense that a new thing is happening, even if he cannot see. He's reaching for the God he knows in faith, receiving a vision for what is next, even in just the next step to be taken. Challenging roads lie ahead for him and for all those who seek to be disciples of Jesus. Our book group this month and in TNT this season has been looking and pondering Shane Claiborne's Irresistible Revolution, and we'll discuss it on Tuesday night. I forgot to mention that at the in the announcements this morning. So one more announcement: at 7 o'clock at the Harrisons, book group on Irresistible Revolution. It follows immediately after a program at Temple Bethel on the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's Letters to the Birmingham Jail, and they're right around the corner from each other, so you can do both, even. The kind of conversion that we're talking about that happens here to Saul is life-changing, as it is for us, however it emerges, whether it emerges out of the nurturing of faith that leads us in some linear fashion to deeper and deeper walks with Christ, whether it comes upon us suddenly, as it does with Saul here. It will call us to places that we would rather not go, places that perhaps were not in our carefully planned 2-year or 5-year or 10-year life plan. But God is faithful. God is ever faithful forever. And we are not alone in that walk. There are unexpected co-journeyers, as we learn from this life-changing encounter. Saul is never alone as he keeps his ears tuned to where God is calling him next. And with this shocking, life-changing time comes the filling of the Holy Spirit, we're told, a journey that it takes together with others. Yes, our Lord comes to us one-on-one in intimate encounter, but we are not alone in the discovery and living out of our calls to new life, and that is why we gather as a community. Scales fall from the eyes, sight is restored. Saul got up, was baptized, took food, and regained his strength. for a new direction, for a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So may we too be stopped in our tracks by God and called to listen, to pray, to look for those who will guide the way, and then to follow in the end where Christ alone will lead. God provides now and forever. Jesus never said it would be easy. Jesus promised his disciples three things: that they would be completely fearless, absurdly happy, and in constant trouble. Amen. Our affirmation of faith this morning is one of the traditions I inherited when I started here 10 years ago as co-pastor. The practice of affirming our faith within the confessional tradition as those who have witnessed to their faith and put it into writing over the years of our history. For 300 years, the confession which guided the faith and doctrine of the Presbyterian Church was the Westminster Confession of Faith, which we take an excerpt from today. The language is a little bit different than our everyday language. It's a little less inclusive of, it's a lot less inclusive of men and women, but it speaks deeply to this call that Jesus has on our lives. This call to conversion, the call that Jesus leads us in new directions and enables us to follow and answer and live into the good news of our Lord. Let us stand and affirm our faith as we share these words from the Westminster Confession of Faith. When grace converteth a sinner and translateth him into the state of grace, he freeth him from his natural bondage under sin, and by his grace alone enables him freely to will and to do that which is spiritually good. This effectual call is of God's free and special grace alone, not from anything at all foreseen in man, who is altogether passive therein, until being quickened and renewed by the Holy Spirit, he is thereby enabled to answer this call and to embrace the grace offered and conveyed in it. Amen. You may be seated. To share a few words this morning about our upcoming church survey is Gina Bay.
Good morning. I just wanted to give you a little bit more detailed information about our church survey that will be beginning this week sometime. So I'm just going to just kind of read from my notes, if you don't mind. The session has approved moving with Holy Cow Consulting to help us plan for the future strategy and to grow spiritually and financially within our church. This is an online consulting service that provides us with many resources, including an online survey that we'll be using. In this phase, it's designed to help our leaders to get a deeper sense of how our congregation engages in our ministry and understands and imagines our future. And this will provide critical information to help us help inform us as we make important decisions for our future. And in this process, your input is extremely critical. You've been selected to participate in the first step in our strategic planning phase, which is to conduct our congregational assessment. And this assessment will provide a clear picture of who we are as a church and what directions are most important for our future. The tool we'll use, as I had mentioned last week, is called the Church Assessment Tool, which they cleverly named it the CAT, and so the Church Assessment Tool is our CAT scan for all you medical people out there. And it will provide key indicators of our congregational health, along with areas of challenge and potential growth. It will help us to understand and collect the range of views that we have here at PPC, which is a pretty wide range, I know, and the possibilities, willingness, and capacity we have for moving our ministry into the future. So for those of you wondering who can take this assessment, we have determined that anyone who is of high school age on up is going to be, we're inviting you all to take this assessment. All members and non-members, because we have so many that are actively involved in our church, whether you're a member or not. And if you have provided us with a current email address, within the next few days, sometime this week, you will receive a web link to complete the assessment online. There are email lists on the back table during coffee hour, and if you have not checked off your email address on those lists, please do so today. If we do not have your email address, please write it in so that you can receive this web link to complete this online survey. If you prefer to take this assessment on a paper copy, if you do not have internet access or a computer, there is another sign-up sheet as well next to those email addresses, so please write your name and address so that we can get a paper copy to you, and we'll give you further instructions on how to complete that once we get the full list. The survey is going to remain open until May 5th, so it does give you a couple weeks to do it, but I highly recommend that once you get the link, you complete it as soon as possible. Because if you're like me, I get one of those surveys and I think I'll do it some other time, and then the deadline passes. So please complete the survey as soon as possible. We really appreciate your willingness to take part of this congregational assessment and for helping build the future here at PPC. And just so you know, the results of this assessment is something that the Strategic Planning Committee that was just formed will be looking at and analyzing in order to further develop the vision for PPC and then help us move forward in the interim ministry and move us into the pastor search process. So if you have any questions, please see me during coffee hour. I'd be happy to answer any of your questions. Thanks.
And now you can see why we needed a dramatic healing to happen the end of this week.
As we have all been blessed by God, let us now collect our tithes and offerings. Thank you. us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for all of the blessings and the signs of hope that you give us day to day. Please use all of our gifts and offerings of our times and talent to further your will and show your love here on earth. Amen.
Let us join together in our closing hymn, Mighty to Save.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me. All my fears abandoned, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender.
To the one who is able to do more than we can ever ask or inquire, Paul's words, not mine, to the only wise God, be glory now in the church and to all the ends of the earth, now and forevermore. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit and one another be with you all, now and forever. Amen.